And I would say of all the testimonies that I've had over the years since I've been saved, again, August of 1982, probably one of the biggest testimonies I have in my life is walking in divine health. Now, I know that's not always the exciting testimony, so we don't share that very much. It's, you know, to say, well, you know, people think you're bragging if you talk about that. But that's one of the things that I've just had a revelation of and walked in. And I tell you, it's been good. It's good to be healthy and to walk in health and have continual health over a long period of time. So I thank God for that. God's best is not just to heal us when sickness comes on us, but to keep us from sickness so that sickness never attaches itself to our bodies in the first place. Now, we've said this over and over, but I'll say it again. Where are the three places that we know where the will of God is known? Heaven. You can read in Revelation 22 where it says there's no pain, no sickness in heaven. Where's the second one? Garden of Eden. Before Adam fell, there was no sickness there. It was only till after sin came, when Adam was disobedient, that sickness and disease came. So that's God's will. In the third place, the ministry of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Why? He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's the plan of God. He never turned anybody away that came to him that wanted to be healed. He never said, no, not today, I don't feel like it. No, it's not God's will. He healed everyone that came to him in either in faith or cried out to him. So this is God's will. That's God's plan. And it's God's plan for us to live this way, for this to be a lifestyle. Jesus provided healing for our physical bodies and redemption. Let's turn over to Isaiah 53. God's benefit plan, the redemption package. We know this by now that it's more than just getting to go to heaven when you die. There's a package. There's a salvation plan. It's a benefit plan for all of us. And healing is a part of that. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely, truly, this is the truth. He has borne our griefs. And if you look on your center margin in mine, it says sicknesses. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Look in the center column reference again. It says pains and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's part of the package. That's part of the plan. Healing, wholeness, health. That's his plan. All right, 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. This scripture in 3 John 2, it is probably the scripture that I have meditated on and thought the most about. There's not a week, and I probably most days, every day I think about this scripture, that this is God's plan for us. He wants us to be healthy, above all things, for us to prosper, to thrive, to flourish, and to be in health. But the last part is the important part, even as your soul prospers. So for you to be a prosperous person and for you to be in health, you're going to have to renew your mind. You're going to have to feed your spirit. You're going to have to take God's word and put it in there and begin to learn about healing and train yourself in these things. You've heard that knowledge is power. Has anybody heard of that? Knowledge is power. I'm going to tell you tonight that knowledge act upon is more powerful. That's the key to not just to have a bunch of head knowledge about healing, but to have a working knowledge of it, that you'll walk in it, that you live it, that you do it. 2 Corinthians 3, don't turn there, I just want to read this. Paul says, you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men, where the word of God can become so real in you that people will look at you and say, man, this guy's a Christian, this guy's a believer, this guy walks in health. That you're a living epistle, a walking word, a walking Bible, so to speak. Your health depends on the prosperity of your soul. Even as the correlation, there's a correlation between prosperity and health and the prospering of your soul. More word, more understanding, the healthier and the stronger you're going to be. God has appointed man to live for 120 years. Did you know that tonight? I know Proverbs talks about living to be 70 or 80, but look over in Genesis, should be Genesis 6. And there are some cases, very rare, but you can read about them every once in a while in the newspaper, of someone living to be over 100 or 110. Read about somebody the other day, they were 121. You know, and we're really surprised and shocked by that. But look at what the Bible says, Genesis 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And, you know, again, we think if we've made it to 70, we're doing good. But God's plan is for us to live a long and satisfied life. And I looked up the word satisfied. I mean, Psalm 91, verse 16 says, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The word satisfy means to gratify the need, desire, or expectation, to fulfill your desire. So when your desires are fulfilled here on the earth, then that's the time that you can go to heaven. But if your life is not fulfilled, your desire is not fulfilled, you're not ready yet. I think I mentioned this before about E.W. Kenyon. He knew by the Spirit of God he was going home. He told his family, went and sat in his rocking chair and held on, and off he went. Philip Halverson, another great man of God, he was in a meeting in Minneapolis at Mac Hammond's church praying for Mac Hammond. He got lost in the Spirit and didn't come back. Fell dead right there in the meeting. What a way to go, huh? My grandfather went to sleep one night and he didn't wake up the next day. 84 years old. Went to be with Jesus. Praise God. He lived a long, satisfied life. That's the plan of God. You know, we were reading some scriptures the other day from Philippians, and the scripture talks about, you know, being absent from the body, be present from the Lord. How we know we're to be here on the earth is when we're being fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. If there comes a place in our lives where we're not being fruitful, it'd be better to go to be with the Lord, to be with God. When we're here, we're going to live a long, satisfied life, but we're also to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. So this is the plan of the Lord. Now your health is in God's word. Look over in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them. That's what the word abide means. Hold fast to the teachings, God's teachings, and live in accordance with them. And I would say that that's what James says, being a hearer and a doer of God's word. Then it says, if you do that, you are truly my disciples. A disciple is just not a hearer. It's a hearer and a doer. And verse 32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So your health is in God's word. Whether it's being preached, or you're listening to a tape, or you're reading it, or you're making confessions, those words are alive. They're full of healing. They contain healing. And when they go into you, you get stronger. You get healthier. They're full of life. They're full of energy. They're full of power. Look over in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Pay attention. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them constantly before you. Keep them in the midst of your heart. See, it's beyond just your head. It's getting it in your heart. That's the real you. That's what you're, who you really are. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life. There it is again. Life, health, wholeness. They are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. His word produces life in you and health for your flesh. Again, there's a correlation between the word level in your life and the amount of health and wholeness that you're walking in. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them. Read this last time I ministered. And delivered them from their destruction. He sent his word. And I know there's just sometimes you think, well, you know, you're confessing the word or you're listening to a tape and, you know, it just doesn't seem like anything's happening. But this is when you have to believe. When you don't feel like anything's happening, that's when you have to know. and believe it, that these words are the most powerful words, more powerful than my words, more powerful than someone else's word, your favorite preacher. These words are powerful, and they will bring health and healing in your life. Feed on them as much as possible. You can't overdose on this. You can't take too much of this. So constantly, and this is just for the rest of your life. There's never going to be a period from here on in where we can just coast. There's no coasting. Everybody say amen. So just so you know, I said it tonight, there's no coasting, there's no taking a day off, there's no vacations. You know, this is for the rest of our lives. I mean, unless you're on a fast, I mean, everybody here is planning on eating every day. Correct? You'll do that for your body. Now, which is more important, your spirit or your body? So make the same decision that your flesh is making a lot of the decisions, but make the same decision there concerning your body that you're going to eat the food, God's food, every day. All right, keys to living in divine health. Look in at Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. Again, this goes back to the garden. Man was created to live forever. You know, if you read some of the, about some of the early people in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, they lived 700 years, 800 years, 900 years. How would you like to live 900 years? You'd see a lot, wouldn't you? That's a long time. 900 years. But actually, man was created to live forever. But because of sin, disobedience, missing the mark, death came. Spiritual death, and spiritual death led to physical death. So, sickness gains a stronghold through sin. Mentioned it this morning, if the wages or the payoff of sin is death. Sin separates you from God. Sin separates you from God's presence. Sin separates you from the anointing. Sin separates you from the power of God. So God has set up a plan when you do sin. We talked about it again today. 1 John 1:9. Confess that sin. Keep yourself covered under the blood. Don't run from Jesus. Run to Him. Because a lot of times when you mess up, the last place, especially if it's something sin you've done before, the last place you want to run to is God. Run to Jesus. You remember back in the Old Testament talking about Moses and the Hebrew children? Remember the Passover? They had the blood around the door. That was a protection for the family. Well, it's the same thing for us. If we're under the blood, we're protected. If we're under the blood, we're protected from sin and its effects. Hallelujah. So there's wages for sin, and we want to avoid those wages. So that's one way that our key for living in divine health. Live holy. Live holy. And then if you make a mistake, go to God. Run to God as fast as possible, and He will forgive and forget. Adopt the same attitude toward sickness that you have toward sin. Identify sickness as a work of the enemy in your life. Ephesians 4 says, do not give it any place. Don't give it any room. One translation says opportunity. When you have a sniffle or you have a hangnail or whatever it is, a red place on your skin, don't give it any opportunity. Don't give it any place in your household. Don't pet it. Susie talked about it, you know, don't pet that bunny. Don't give it any place. James 4, 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee. Run it off immediately when sickness comes knocking at your door. That word resist is the word antihistamine. Did you know that? It's from that Greek word. And that means stand against, vigorously opposing, bravely resisting. And this is where I got the toe-to-toe with the devil, standing face-to-face with the devil. Not running from him, not hiding, you know, behind someone else, but you just stand up to the devil and you tell him to get lost. But I like what it says here, the definition, stand against, but vigorously opposing, I think sometimes we're kind of passive about things. We put up with things, tolerate things. But, you know, if you tolerate little things, those little things can lead to big things. So stop them. Stop it in its tracks. Recognize that death and sickness no longer have dominion over you. Let's look in there, Romans 6, verse 8. Yeah, I think we need to be a little, have more of an attitude. I've seen this in dealing with people. The Bible says the violent take it by force. I think some, they're just not tired enough of the illness. Well, we can put up with it. It doesn't hurt that much. I can get by. That's a dangerous place to be. I mean, anything. I mean, in your kids, in yourself, you just have to have this attitude. And so if you work on the little things, when the big things come, you're going to oppose that and stand against that. But be aggressive. Have an attitude. Do you have an attitude? Do you get mad at the devil? Do you? All right. Romans 6, verse 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Recognize that death no longer has dominion over you. Because we died with Christ, we now live with him. We don't need to be afraid of death. So many times in dealing with people, even people that are maybe sick or have a illness and they're ready to go on, they're so afraid of death, so afraid of dying. Their body, their flesh just fights it, just resists death. But Jesus defeated death. We don't need to be afraid of death. Hebrews says that we were delivered from the fear of death. That fear of death caused us for our whole life to be subject to bondage. That we can be fearless. We don't have to, death is the worst enemy for most people. It's the worst possible thing. But you don't have to be afraid of it. Jesus defeated death, defeated the devil. And we don't need to be afraid either. Fill your mouth with God's word concerning healing and long life. Use your mouth to call for long life in your body. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Who's in Psalm 103, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I look at it this way. Feeding on God's word is when you load the gun. Speaking God's word is when you fire and you pull the trigger. Do you have any, will there be any damage on this wall if I just hold the gun and don't pull the trigger? And I think a lot of people, they have knowledge, they believe, they've heard the word, and so they're full, they're loaded. But you must take the gun and aim it and shoot it and blast a hole in your target. Now, and I know I'm on this big snake thing, but when I had the shotgun loaded, pointed at the snake, he didn't do anything. Nothing happened to the snake until I pointed it at the snake and I fired. And just to make sure he was dead, I shot him twice. But it's the same thing with the Word of God. When you're hearing the Word, you're getting loaded in a good sense. You're getting loaded. You're getting full. But it doesn't become powerful until you speak it. Remember Jesus when he was tempted in Matthew 4? Did the devil just flee from him because Jesus was so holy and he was so godly and he was the Son of God and there was just this big light, radiating from him, the glory of God, just knocked the devil away? It didn't happen until he said, "It is written." It is written. He released the power when he spoke it. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. We must load ourselves. If you want to walk in divine health, you must load yourself with God's word. Load yourself with God's word on a daily basis. And when that snake comes crawling in your house, fire, pull the trigger. It is written. And you will see the effect. The devil will leave. The sickness will go. Power will be released. That's how you release the power. So fill yourself. Some of these scriptures, fill your mouth full of God's Word. Talk about living a long, satisfied life. Make that one of your confessions. Talk about being redeemed from poverty and sickness and death. Talk about healing and health. Talk about these things over and over. Speak it. Say it. Another key to living in divine health, look in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. We ought to be running right now. Not be crawling. Not be laying there. Not be sitting there. Running. They shall run and not be weary. Isn't that something? They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord. What is waiting on the Lord? It's spending time with God. It's just not going in there and reading your three chapters and, you know, speak in tongues for 5 minutes and then read my confessions and off I go. You know, you got it in your day timer. 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there. You know, we're just so busy. You know, a lot of our time with the Lord is in the car. You know, you're driving down Washington Road, buzzing in between cars, praying in the Spirit. And that's our waiting on the Lord. But it's spending time with God. Fellowshipping with Him. Talking to Him and have Him talk to you. Knowing, you can know Him. And you know, He will even talk to you. Isn't that something? But, you know, the Scriptures say here, in His presence is fullness of joy. Anybody need some joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, if we had a joy meter, and if we were to follow people along and we were to measure your level of joy, I think the people that consistently wait on the Lord more, that their joy level will be higher. Therefore, if your joy level is higher, you are stronger. Then you could say then the stronger people are those that wait on the Lord, that spend time with God. I know you're busy. I'm busy. We're living in a busy time. But don't get so busy that you leave God out of your schedule. Spend time with Him. Make a lifelong commitment. This is the next point. Make a lifelong commitment to walk in the love of God toward every person. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. You cannot fail if you stay in the way of love. Relationships is what life is all about. God created man in the first place for fellowship with Him. Isn't that something? He created man to fellowship, to spend time together. This is His man. Wanted to talk with Him and mentor Him and help Him. That's at the very heart of God. God is a father. God is all about families, spending time together. And so the love walk is one of the most important things for you to live a healthy life. We have no room for unforgiveness. We have no room for offense. We have no room for bitterness. And so many times in dealing with people, especially that have cancer or some kind of, you know, pretty serious illness. So many times when you get to the root of the problem, it goes back to relationships. Relationships. So if you want to live a healthy life today, put relationships up on your list. We weren't created for the world. The world was created for us. And I'm telling you, the pull of things and stuff is so great in this hour to have stuff that gets, you know, in Mark 4 talks about it, the lust for other things, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, that pull. It's pulling the world. And so that people now have become more interested in stuff than they are in people. And we as Christians, we're in this world. We're not of this world, but we're in this world. And so we're having to live and operate. And so every day you're going to be tested. The love walk is going to be tested. Just remember, if you want to win, you want to succeed, walk in love. Go over, make that part of your confession. 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified, verses 4 through 8. Make that your confession. Speak it. Say it. Treat people like you want to be treated. That's pretty deep, isn't it? The golden rule. Treat everybody you meet. Treat them with respect. Treat them with love. Treat them with dignity. Do good things for people. That the people of the Good News Church, this is our job description, that we go about doing good. We go about serving. We go about blessing people. We love to bless our boss. We love to bless our coworkers. We love to bless those at church we don't like. Those are the ones we run up to first and give them a big hug and give them a kiss. We love those family members we don't like and don't want to be around. We call them, go by and see them, right? We need a Good News Church song. Something we can sing so when we walk out of here on Sunday that we're inspired to go out there and just love people. I'll work on it, all right? But make a point to forgive people. Don't have anybody in your life where you're walking in unforgiveness. Don't hold grudges. Forgive, love. The next one, allow the fruit of the Spirit to develop in your life. Now, one of the fruits of the Spirit is something that we don't necessarily like to hear, but one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Everybody say self-control. Everybody say, I love self-control. It's my favorite fruit. Self-control leads to health and a long life. Self-control is not something you're trying to get. You already have it. It just needs to come out and manifest itself. It is yours. You need to start saying this. I have self-control. Well, let's just say this together. I have self-control. It manifests in my life. Now say it with a little more gusto, all right? I am a disciplined person. I call the shots in my life. And not my flesh. Body, settle down. And do what I tell you to do. Don't you just feel better? Praise God. Talk to that body. Your spirit has dominance over your body, over your flesh. Remember that. It's not the other way around. The Bible doesn't say that we are led by our flesh. We're led by the Spirit of God. So one of these things that are going to be crucial for us to walk in divine health is self-control. So no longer can we have that excuse, well, I'm just not a disciplined person, Pastor Matt. No, this is who you are. This is your nature. Self-control and discipline is part of your nature. Amen? Joy, singing, and laughter have a healing effect on your body. Proverbs 17, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Proverbs, and it says in the Amplified version, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing. Depressed people are more susceptible to sickness and disease. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. You know, even in the natural, they've done these experiments. You've heard about people with incurable diseases, that they'll have them watch these comedies and watch them over and over and get them to laughing. And then how they've seen a big change and seen improvement. Some have even been healed. Now, this is just in the natural scientific experiments. That just proves what we already know from the Bible. Laughing is good, and it's okay to laugh in church. Now, I noticed on Wednesday here at the church that we still have a hard time with this, even at the Good News Church, about laughing in church. It's okay to laugh. Now, again, I have another joy test to be able to tell whether you're a person of joy or whether you laugh a lot. When you go home tonight, look in the mirror. Then I want you to smile and then frown. Which has more lines, the smile or the frown? Okay, I'll do it for you again. Or the frown. It's hard for me even to frown or be mad. If the Three Stooges can bring healing, what are their names? Curly and Moe and Larry, Moe and Curly. If these Three Stooges can bring healing, then why can't a little laughter at church help? Susie and I were having it wasn't an argument, it was just a strong discussion. And Susie and I, we both think we're right. Sort of like lawyers, and we have all these, you know, different reasons why we're right and the other one's wrong. And we were debating each other one day. I mean, it was going on and on and on. And there was going to be no winner in sight. And finally, right in the middle of it, we just looked at each other and just started laughing. And laughed and laughed and laughed. And so neither one of us won. The Holy Ghost won, I guess. But I mean, it was silly. It was getting us nowhere. And so laughing helped diffuse the situation. Didn't it, Susie? You forgive me for that, right? Okay. She was right. Oh, Lord. Pray for me. Self-control. The next key to living in divine health. Worry does not add any good thing to you. It will steal your health. Worry is meditation on the lies of the devil. Now, why is worry such a dangerous thing? Just like meditation on God's word, it helps you to believe. Bible says, out of the abundance of the, here we go again. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you fill yourself on, what you meditate on, what you think on. And when you worry, you're meditating on the lies of the devil. The lies of the devil. You're meditating on the lies of the devil. And so what happens? You begin to believe those lies, and then you'll speak them. So you're loading your gun with the wrong bullets. Did you get that? Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Take control of your thought life. What are we supposed to think about? Look over in Philippians 4. Philippians 4:8. This is what you're to think on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These are the things that we are to think about. Worry will do you no good. So just let go of that worry. Do not let the cares of life weigh you down and tire you out. 1 Peter 5, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. What you need to do is, if cast is like a fishing rod. You're going to throw your bobber and your hook out there in the lake. Throw it out there and don't reel it back in. Cast it upon the Lord. You're not made to carry the burden. Cast it upon the Lord. Get rid of it. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, for he shall sustain you. Let's look over in 1 Corinthians 6. I'm really helping you tonight. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Do not allow habits or behaviors that are ungodly in your life. Having sickness in your body brings no glory to God. Remember that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. The scriptures talk about being a steward. A steward is a manager of someone else's assets. Your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Calls it the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is it healthy for you to live in a pigsty at home where you have rats, slurred speech. When you have rats and cockroaches running all over the place and snakes and other critters living in your house and everything's dirty and the garbage is piled up, is this an atmosphere that's conducive to health? You want to keep your house clean. Well, it's the same thing. You want to keep your body clean. Sin pollutes, sin. What does sin do? It does something. Okay. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and He will give life to you and restore your body. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. The resurrection power. Who's the pastor of this church? The resurrection power dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. They say about John G. Lake, great man of God, he would do a test. They would put germs and bubonic plague on his hand, and then they would put it underneath the microscope, and it would be dead. The life, the healing power of God flowed from him. William Branham. When he died, he was killed in a car accident. He was driving along and obviously got in an accident, serious accident. And he and his wife were seriously hurt. She was dead, actually dead. And his son was driving behind them, came up to him. And William Branham said to his son, take my hand and put it on her body. And so his son did that, laid it on his wife, and she was raised from the dead. The power of God. But sometimes you can minister that healing power, but it not work for you. John G. Lake died at a fairly early age. He died at 67. William Branham died at an early age. He was able to do that, but he didn't want his son to take his hand and put it on himself. That we really need to realize that not only does the power of God flow through us to help other people, but that same power that we pray for others will work for us. You can lay hands on yourself. The life of God, the power of God, the resurrection power is in you. Next time you get a headache, instead of running to get aspirin, you can do that. But take your hand and put it on your head. And impart the life of God. Put it on your body. The resurrection power, the Spirit of God is in you. It'll bring health. It'll bring healing. Sow seeds of healing in your life every day so you can have a continual harvest of health. I want to just do some confessions right now. Do this every day. Say this, I am the body of Christ.
I am the body of Christ.
And Satan has no power over me.
Greater is he that is in me
than he that is in the world. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. Your word and your spirit
comfort me. I am far from oppression. And fear does not come near me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. For my righteousness is of the Lord. Lord, you have delivered me from the evils of this world. For it is God's will. No evil will befall me. Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. You have given your angels charge over me. And they keep me in all my ways. In my pathway is life. And there is no death. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I forbid any sickness or poverty to come on me. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. My peace is great because I'm God's child and I'm taught of the Lord. Do this. You can make your own confessions. But I'm telling you, this is powerful to do this, to read God's word, to speak it over yourself, to speak it over your family, speak it over this church, confess it. That's going to release the power of God. Sow these seeds on a daily basis. All right, and lastly, do what you can in the natural to keep your body healthy. Exercise your body on a regular basis. Now, I can't tell you necessarily what the proper exercise you need to do, but I can tell you what exercise is not. This will help you. Exercise is not what I did on Friday. I went to play golf. I played 9 holes of golf, first time in a year and a half. I went and played 9 holes of golf, and I rode in a cart. That is not exercise. Sitting in front of the TV for an hour, clicking the remote, is not exercise. Sitting by the pool and watching everyone else swim is not exercise. Talking about going to the weight room and lifting weights is not exercise. Did everybody get this? That's all the stuff. That's your program? Eddie, you need a new program. Who's your trainer? Wrong answer. Old things are passed away. My exercise program is so complex, I cannot share it with you tonight. But exercise your body on a regular basis. Eat the foods that will properly fuel your body. The key is moderation. Now, let me tell you what moderation is not. 6 Twinkies is not moderation. A big bag of Ruffles potato chips is not moderation. 6 Dr. Peppers is not moderation. Let me give you a little clue. The closer, you know, we were made from the dust, the closer is concerning food that you stick to the earth, the better off you're going to be. So if you have a choice between a carrot that's just been pulled from the ground and a candy bar, which is closer to the earth? The carrot. We don't know what this candy bar has been through. This is a rule of thumb. This will help you. Which is better? Water, pure, clean, sparkling water, or Dr. Pepper? Oh, you pray about that one. But it's okay to have some of these things, but in moderation. You can have one cookie, just don't eat the whole bag. I've heard often sometimes when people laugh, that's because they're convicted. All right, get sufficient sleep and rest and observe the Sabbath principle. I tell you, it's really helped me at pastoring to take a day off a week. That has been a blessing for me and my family. I've been a lot better person to be around at first when we started the church. Well, obviously, I was working, you know, 65 hours a week for international paper, but I lived and breathed the church 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's all we would talk about. It's all we did. But we learned to take a day off, right, Susie? Take a day off, and we even, unless there's an emergency, we don't talk about, you know, we love y'all, but we don't talk about the church on that day. That's the only day we don't talk about the church. And I'm telling you, us doing that, taking a rest, taking one day off, has really helped us. Amen? Praise God. So take a day off. Get some rest. Get some sleep. See your doctor and dentist for regular checkups. But even at home with our kids, we have our kids talk to their teeth. We've been redeemed from cavities. And if one of the teeth aren't growing in straight, we talk to them and tell them to come in straight. Talk to your teeth. Talk to your body. Doctors and dentists are good people. They're for us. I had a physical earlier this year. I'm planning on having a physical every year. The doctor said that my cholesterol was a little bit high. So what I've done, instead of having two pieces of fried chicken, I only have one. Do you believe that? Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Use medicine as needed until your healing manifests. Medicine is not evil. The main problem arises when we put more trust in medical science than we do in God. And the danger there is when you have more trust in medical science, when they give you no hope, then what do you do? And I've seen that happen with several different folks. So medicine, take your medicine. You can use medicine as needed until your healing manifests.